There are 7 hidden principles that together control your entire reality. And these 7 principles were known to the ancient Egyptians, and they were documented as the 7 hermetic principles. And these closely mirror the ancient wisdom of Vedanta that was prominent in India. Every success, every failure, every emotion, every miracle you have experienced, all trace back to these 7 forces. And the tragedy is, most people live their lives without discovering these principles which make up this entire reality. But once you understand them, not as a theory but as truth, you stop being a victim of life and start becoming the conscious creator of it. These 7 laws are not philosophy. They are the operating system for the entire universe. And that is what we will uncover today. And if you can truly understand them one by one, and if you can master them, especially through the eyes and the lens of Vedanta, then you will finally understand why things happen the way they do and how to consciously shape your reality. So let's decode them one by one. And finally, let us also discover the 8th that Vedanta speaks of, where it takes everything to a whole new level. Now, the first principle here is the principle of mentalism, which states the all is mind. The universe is mental. Everything originates in consciousness. The universe itself is a mental creation within the infinite mind. Your thoughts shape your reality, and similarly, your universe and your reality is in your mind. Now, if you've been following our channel, you can see how this strikingly parallels the ancient wisdom of Advaita Vedanta, where Vedanta describes the entire universe as an appearance or a projection in consciousness. And Vedanta also speaks of how things, although they appear as being separate from consciousness and dualistic on the outside, ultimately, it is all one appearance, and the universe is not physical but mental. It is not even mental ultimately as per Vedanta. Even the mental dimension is described as the subtle dimension. Beyond that, everything is consciousness. Everything is one. There is a concept of Hiranyagarbha or the cosmic mind in Vedanta, where everything that we are seeing in this universe is conceived in a collective universal cosmic mind called Hiranyagarbha. The physical world that we see and experience is a manifestation of that Hiranyagarbha and within that universal cosmic mind. Now, how is this relevant for us, and how can we make this wisdom practical? We need to first of all understand that universe is not as it seems to be. The separation, the duality and matter as it appears to be, it is not. If we break things down, it all comes down to energy. Everything is energy, everything is mental. Your thoughts affect your reality. And just like how the entire universe is an appearance in consciousness, your universe and your personal reality is an appearance in your consciousness, in your awareness. In the awareness of your mind. Whatever reality is, you are not perceiving it as it is. Whatever you're experiencing in your world, it is heavily influenced by your own tendencies, your own beliefs and your own swabhava, your own identity. So you are shaping your reality unconsciously. If you clear your mind, if you become the witness, if you can consciously create a vision for your life, you can shape your reality the way you wish to, because the universe ultimately is mental and it is an appearance. With that, let's come to the second principle, that is the principle of correspondence, which states, as above, so below, as below, so above. Patterns repeat across planes, physical, mental, and spiritual. The microcosm, that is you, is a reflection of the macrocosm, the universe. Understanding one level of reality reveals truths about all levels. Now, this is a very, very interesting and a very deep principle. You know, if we study the ancient Vedas and the Upanishads, we see instances where certain secrets about the nature of the galaxies, of different stars, which are so far from our solar system, have been documented in the works of ancient Indian astrologers like Aryabhata and so on. And we sometimes wonder, how can those ancient rishis, thousands of years ago, without having an access to a physical telescope or an instrument to study those celestial objects, can document their behavior and their nature in such a detailed way? Here we need to understand that the universe is very strange. What is here is there. When you understand yourself fully, you will understand the entire universe for what it is. So that is the law of correspondence. In the ancient Yajurveda, there is a statement which says, Yata pinde tata brahmande. Yata brahmande tata pinde. Which means, as is the individual, so is the universe. As is the universe, so is the individual. So this is clearly talking about the same principle in the exact terminology. The microcosm and the macrocosm are ultimately one and the same. You are the universe and the universe is you. And the ancient Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, verse 3.7.23 says, the self or that consciousness is smaller than the grain of rice, yet it is greater than the earth, greater than the atmosphere, greater than the sky, and greater than these worlds. So what can we take away from this and how can we apply this principle in our life? We need to understand that all we have to do is to understand who we are and work on ourselves. And once we begin to understand who we are and the deeper aspects of our swabhava, our identity, our body, our mind, our awareness, our ego, and ultimately the consciousness that we are, that is the only understanding that matters. That is the only journey that matters, because as below, so above. Once we understand this, we understand everything else. With that, let's come to the third principle, that is the principle of vibration. It states, nothing rests, everything moves, everything vibrates. Everything from thoughts to matter is energy vibrating at different frequencies. Higher vibrations align with finer realities, for example, love, wisdom, and so on. Lower vibrations like fear and ignorance align with lower realities. And you can raise your vibration by raising your awareness, by raising the quality of your thoughts, your beliefs, and your tendencies. And when we come to the ancient Vedantic wisdom, Shabda or sound is described as the nature of this manifestation. You know, the manifested universe is described as a vibration within consciousness. The primal vibration of Om is the seed of manifestation, as mentioned in the ancient texts like Ekakshara Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad, and so on. And even the Ishopanishad's opening verse states how this entire universe can be looked at as a vibrational movement in the infinite existence or the infinite consciousness. And here is the practical takeaway for you for this principle. Understand that everything is energy, everything is vibration, and so you are also a vibration. If you wish to experience a different kind of reality, if you are working towards something, understand this principle and raise your vibration. Move away from lower tamasic states of vibration like fear, guilt, apathy, sadness, blame, and so on, and evolve to love, to joy, to fulfillment, and bliss. Just work on your bhava, your state of being, right? We always say yad bhavam tad bhavati. However, is your bhava, your emotional state, your mental state, such a reality you're creating for yourself? So stay positive and keep your energy and your vibration in the right way as much as possible. We understood here that everything vibrates and everything is energy. With this, let's come to the next principle, that is the fourth principle, that is the principle of polarity. This states everything is dual. Everything has poles, opposites. Opposites are the same thing, differing only in degree. Although the law of polarity says everything has polarities, everything has opposites, ultimately we need to understand the deeper essence meaning of this. Ultimately, even Hermeticism states that this polarity is only apparent. It is not ultimately real. It is simply different degrees of the same thing. For example, darkness can be looked at as the absence of light. We can look at how everything is light and darkness is something as the absence of light. And similarly, when it comes to emotions, we can look at everything as love and we can see how fear or jealousy is simply the absence of love. Or we can say fear and jealousy is a place where the degree of expression of love is very, very less. So there is apparent polarity in everything. Now this matters to us because we need to understand every form of suffering, stress, anxiety, burnout, everything that we go through comes from the assumption that this polarity is real, comes from the assumption that suffering is real, poverty is real, and every negative experience is real. But if we begin to see fear as simply the absence of faith and jealousy as simply the absence of love and ignorance as simply the absence of wisdom and move towards wisdom, love, awareness, liberation, everything else will take care of itself. With that, let's come to the fifth principle, that is the principle of rhythm, which states everything flows in and out. Everything has tides. All things rise and fall. This is also the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's teaching to Arjuna comes down to this. He explains how everything happens in cycles. What is yours today will be someone else's tomorrow. And day after tomorrow, it will be somebody else's. Change is the only constant in this universe. Do not hold on to anything because nothing is truly yours except for your own self. Vedanta speaks of this principle in many, many places. We are used to the idea of the creation, sustenance and the dissolution of the entire universe. The Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, the various yugas that we go through, the day and night that happens, the seasonal activities that we go through throughout the year. So there are cycles to everything. We are born, we live our life and we die and then we are born again. So cycles continue to exist within the manifested universe and there is a rhythm to everything is what we need to understand here. And the practical takeaway here from the Vedantic perspective is not to hold on to things and to understand that everything changes. With this, let's come to the sixth principle, that is cause and effect, or as we know it, karma. This principle states every cause has its effect and every effect has its cause. Chance is just a name for law not seen. Karma is a very, very popular term across the world and it comes from ancient Vedanta. Vedanta speaks of how there is an effect for every cause and there is a cause for every effect. You might have seen people around you. Some of them succeed very quickly in their lives. And you wonder, why is it not happening to me? Why is it happening for him? At the same time, you can see someone else and see how no matter how hard they work, nothing seems to work for them. And they are in a downward spiral. Now we call this luck from a place of ignorance. But through the Vedantic understanding, we will learn to see how every effect has a cause. Now there might be a gap between the cause and the effect, but there is always a cause for an effect. And this is karma. And the ancient Egyptian wisdom also clearly speaks of this. It speaks of how we need to understand the relationship between the cause and effect. Now, karma doesn't mean your life is out of your control. It means you are responsible for your life because of your own actions, because of your own past actions. And you can consciously create a new life for yourself through your present actions. So your actions, which is nothing but your karma, determines your life. So be conscious of it. Just like the current reality that you are experiencing is a consequence of your past actions, the future reality that you will be living will be the consequence of your present actions. With that, let's come to the seventh principle, that is the principle of gender. It states, gender is in everything. Everything has masculine and feminine principles. Even in Vedantic perspective, we talk about how the entire cosmos is an interplay between Shiva and Shakti, between consciousness and Prakriti and matter. So the manifested universe can be looked at as masculine and feminine, and this aspect of masculine and feminine exists at all dimensions, at all levels within the manifested universe. Although ultimately, from the Vedantic worldview, they reconcile as one consciousness, in the manifested dimension, there are always genders, and there are two genders, masculine and feminine. There is a man and there is a woman. There is Purusha, there is Prakriti. There is Shiva, there is Shakti. But ultimately, the Upanishads asserts that the feminine, that is Shakti, is non-different from Brahman. Now, we need to understand this because even within ourselves, as individuals, whether you are a man or a woman, we have a masculine dimension and we have a feminine dimension. And to understand those dimensions and those aspects within us and to harmonize them and to balance them and to use those creative powers to create the reality that we truly wish to live is something that we can all do and is something which can be truly powerful. So let's say you're an entrepreneur. Balancing your masculine energies, which is more about vision and action, with your feminine energies, that is more about receptivity and nurturing, intuition and rest, can benefit you tremendously in order to build something in a sustainable way and to truly express your full potential. Otherwise, when we are too much dominated by the masculine energy, we burn out. We are not balanced and we are not emotional and we are not nurturing. This can lead us in the wrong direction. And hence, there must be a balance in everything if it has to sustain. Now, we have covered the seven principles of Hermeticism. That's the ancient Egyptian philosophy. And these seven principles primarily come from an ancient text called the Kabbalion, based on the teachings of Hermes. And we looked at these principles and we understood the Vedantic perspective and how they beautifully mirror each other. But now let's go deeper and let's discuss the profundity of the ancient Vedantic wisdom. After all these principles, Vedanta goes beyond and it focuses its complete efforts into one ultimate goal for humanity. That is moksha or liberation, which is not a primary principle or a primary focus in this ancient Egyptian philosophy. If we explore Vedanta, clearly at all levels, at all dimensions, Vedanta keeps telling us and keeps reminding us that the ultimate goal for individuals is not just to understand these laws or principles and stay stuck within this manifested universe, but to understand and recognize their full potential and to ultimately go beyond this game, beyond the simulation, and recognize their true nature as that infinite consciousness. That is moksha. That is liberation. Liberation from the cycle of birth and death, liberation from the cycle of evolution, liberation from all forms of suffering and attainment of absolute bliss. Vedanta goes beyond all these principles and tells us that in our essence here and now, we are the infinite consciousness. And although the seven principles have their place in this world, ultimately all of these principles are within the dimension of Maya. The polarity, the gender, the vibration, the principle of mentalism and correspondence, they all exist, but they exist within Maya. We can go beyond Maya and attain true freedom.
Hello there. If you wish to understand the true nature of reality and learn about consciousness, conscious creation, and the teachings of the ancient Vedanta in order to live your life with purpose, achieve fulfillment, and consciously create a life that you truly want to live, then you can join our community Come Learning platform, the Advaita Conscious Society. For more information, visit advaita.com. Thank you.